John chapter 6, verses 48 through 61. Do you have it? Jesus speaking, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. In other words, you are what you eat. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that we sense this morning. We thank you for your word, which is the way you speak to us continually. Now we take a moment, right, Father, to dedicate the next few moments, dedicate our ears and our hearts to be receptive to your word as we hear it and the work of the Holy Spirit as he works during this process. Father, I pray that you may just anoint your servant. I pray that we will, Lord, that I will just step aside and let you speak, let you have your way. I pray that each person here today will be impacted by your word and by your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen, amen. You may be seated if you are able to. So let me give you a little background. It kind of sets up this whole scenario. So when you read John chapter 6, from the beginning, tells you the whole story. It starts with the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And when you read that, you have to keep in mind it's really Jesus feeding 15,000, because it's the 5,000 men, not counting wives and not counting kids. So a lot of scholars feel that correctly you could just take that number, kick it up to 15,000. This miracle was the biggest, grandest of all the miracles Jesus performed. He had fed, on another occasion, 4,000 people, but this is 5,000 plus. So this was the big event, the biggest miracle that he performed in terms of scope and impact. Of course, nothing compared to his resurrection from the dead. This particular story, the feeding of the 5,000, is also found in Matthew, Luke, and John. It's the synoptic gospel. So that you see the same story in Matthew, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, including John, which you've read that. So when you read all of it, then you get the pieces of the puzzle. So the story is, Jesus had pulled away to go to a mountain to get away to pray. For many reasons, they have been busy ministering, but one particular reason that one of the Gospels highlights is that Jesus just found out some very disappointing news that his cousin, John the Baptist, who was a man of God, the forerunner that paved the way for Jesus' ministry, had been killed by Herod. Jesus, when he heard that, he said, I need to get away. I need to go to a mountain to pray. So he's in a mountain to pray. However, it's during the era of the Passover, big meal, a big feast. So the town was filled with people, plus people that had seen Jesus and had seen miracles. So they wanted to, they pursued Jesus, and they heard, I don't know how they heard it, maybe Twitter or something, but they heard that Jesus was on this mountain. So the crowd showed up. We know 5,000 people plus their wives and kids showed up. Why? They showed up because they wanted to see more miracles. Jesus, they wanted to see more miracles. They wanted to see more healings, and many of them wanted healings. That's okay. Many times people come to church, they come to the Lord because they need a touch in the body, they need a miracle. I get it, fine. So all these people came for that. Jesus, when he realized that that below the mountains was all these people, Jesus, the Bible says, even though he was tired, even though he had pulled away because of the loss of his first cousin that was beheaded by Herod, and there's a whole story there, Jesus said to deny himself again, came down to the mountain because he was moved with compassion. When Jesus sees people, he is moved with compassion. He didn't say, I'm sorry, I'm not in the mood. He was moved with compassion. He came down, and the Bible says that he began to heal the sick among them, and he began to teach them. As he did this the entire day, evening came, all these people were still there. So he tells his disciples, hey, listen, let's get some food. Let's feed these 15,000 people. He said this to test them, for he knew what he was going to do. They replied and said, Lord, you know, several months worth of money cannot even pay for this. And there's no fast food restaurants nearby. We're in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, and then Jesus said, well, you feed them. So now they're kind of, well, and evidently they found a little boy that had two fish and five loaves of bread. You know the story. They bring this to Jesus. Jesus takes this lunch. He takes it. He blesses it. He is thankful for this little lunch that we learned there, to be thankful for the little that God has given you. Don't despise small beginnings. You may not have much. Learn how to be thankful. You may not have a lot of clothes. Learn, be thankful for the clothes you have. You may not have a lot of food. Say, Lord, thank you. You may not have, you may be living in an apartment, not own a house. Thank God you have an apartment. Amen. Your car may be old, but praise God you have a car. You don't have a car, you can walk. Praise God you can walk. Amen. Praise God and thank God for the little that you have, which he did. And the Bible says after he thanked it, he broke it, broke the five loaves of bread and the fish, divided it up. And I don't know how it happened. It doesn't give the specifics, but somehow Jesus multiplied this meal and gave it to the disciples, and they kept feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding. And all those people, 5,000 people and their wives and their kids, maybe 15,000 people, they were all fed and fed well. Have you ever been to an event where they says, come on, we'll feed you, and then it's like a fajita dinner, and you go, there's like one fajita? You know, it's like one little fajita and a little tortilla, and that's it. And you think, you know, I spent $15 for this, and this is it? No, they were fed, and they were fed well. Jesus does things, he does things with abundance. He fed them well, okay? He fed them well. So much that there was 12 leftover baskets filled with food, one for each of the disciples. So they got even blessed. So he does this, And then the crowd, they get into this and they say, well, you know, Jesus, he's the person. Jesus, he needs to be in charge. He needs to be king. Let's go draft Jesus. Let's draft Jesus and force him to be king. They wanted a movement. Let's go ahead and let's get blue and red and white posters and put them in everybody's front yard. Hello. Jesus, next king. Vote for Jesus next. Let's just draft him. Jesus realized they wanted to draft him to do something. He didn't come to earth to be an earthly king. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom. Amen. Amen. He didn't come for an earthly throne. He came for a cross. So he didn't let them do this. So he pulled away. Okay, he pulled away and kind of slows the momentum down. The night comes, the disciples leave, the 12 disciples leave. They take a boat across the sea. And that's when you read all the gospels, you see the story that they go take a boat without Jesus because he was up in the mountain and they had to leave. It was getting dark. The crowds, was dispersed. Many of them dispersed. Many of them camped out there, whatever. So they take the boat. And this is the story where the disciples take the boat, middle of the sea, there's a storm, they panic, and then suddenly they see Jesus walking on the water. And then they get spookified, and Peter says, you know, Jesus said, it's not a ghost, it's me. Peter said, if it's you, bid me to walk. And he walks, and then he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he sinks, Jesus pulls him out, you know, and then I says, oh, you a little faith. And you say, yeah, man, he had no faith, little faith. But if he had little faith, what kind of faith did the rest of the boat people have? None. Amen. Little faith is better than zero faith. But the rest of them stayed in the boat. They make it to the other side. So you have to understand the whole scenario. He goes to the other side. The next morning, all these people, they love Jesus. He healed me and he performed miracles. Let's go to round two. Let's find this Jesus for round two. And now this Jesus, he is the bread man. He is the fish sandwich man. He took fish, he multiplied, he gave us bread. He's the best fish tacos in town. Jesus made them. He took some bread, he took some fish, he multiplied. Man, we are hungry. Let's go find Jesus, the bread man. Jesus, the fish sandwich man. Let's go find him. And they all go and they all find him. And this crowd finds Jesus again. And they do all the false worship with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But they really want a sandwich. They want a sandwich again. This was the best sandwich. This was the best. You need to come. They wanted to eat again. They wanted Jesus to feed their stomachs again. Do you get it? They love Jesus, but they love Jesus their way. So they came. They came to Jesus. And when they arrived the next day, Jesus tells them, you didn't come and seek me for me. Who are we kidding? You came to seek me for a sandwich. You came to seek me for more bread. You came to seek me to nourish your stomach. You came to see another sign. And I didn't come to earth to do dog and pony shows. I didn't come here to perform only. And they said, we want, it's not just food. We want to hear from God. And we want a miracle, but something extraordinary. Something that will build our faith. And we remember that when we read the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, that God sent manna, bread from heaven, and fed them every day. So we just want you to do it again. You're the man. You know, that way it's impressive. It blesses our stomach, but it builds our spirit. It builds our faith. So we just want you to pray for manna, bread from heaven, to come down again like it happened to Moses. And at that point, Jesus said, listen, now you're being pseudo-religious. First of all, he said, Moses is not the one that got the manna to come down. My father is the one. My father is the one that had the manna come from heaven. And I'm here to tell you, he said, take note, I'm here to tell you that there's something better than the manna that came down from heaven from the Old Testament. Hear me and hear me clearly. I am the manna that has come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. You don't need another fish sandwich. You need me. You need to eat of me. Digest me. You are what you eat. You need to nourish yourself in me and become more like me. I am the manna of heaven. I am the bread of life who comes down, who has come. So that you will never hunger again. So this is the punchline that got everyone rattled. If after this, the whole 5,000 being fed, the food, then coming back, saying, Jesus, we just don't want you to make more fish sandwiches. We just want manna from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the manna of heaven. I am what you really need. When he said this, the Bible says they began to grumble. The crowd began to grumble because this was not the Jesus they had known and followed for a while. Jesus, you're not the same Jesus. We love the handout Jesus. You know, we love the miracle Jesus that does miracles, that does do us a miracle. Don't ask us to feed on you. We want a miracle. No, no, no. We love the healing Jesus. We love the urgent care, emergency room Jesus. We love the healing Jesus. Or some of them were saying, no, no, we love the popular Jesus, the popular Jesus, the Jesus that draws a crowd and the crowd attracts a crowd. The popular Jesus, the one that we can recruit and drive to become, topple the kingdom of Caesar. And others maybe said, no, no, that's, we love the radical Jesus, the Jesus that turns tables, the Jesus that said he's going to establish a new kingdom. And then you have the ones that are pseudo spiritual. We love the loving Jesus. We love the loving Jesus. We love the Jesus that loves kids. We love the Jesus that loves the lepers. We love the Jesus that loves sinners. We love the loving Jesus. He's love. But this Jesus now, the whole I am the bread that came down from heaven, this is now we're facing the demanding Jesus. Just love us. Just feed us. Just do miracles. Just do a political movement. We're activists. We want to do something for you. And Jesus said, listen, that's all wonderful, but I want you to feed from me. Oh, you're being demanding, Jesus. Jesus was not confronting them with the side of himself they had ignored and dismissed. He was always the demanding Jesus. But they had just written him off, ignored him, dismissed him. And now Jesus will say, no, no, no. I'm not going to let it go now. I am the bread from heaven. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to back down, back away from who I am just because you are not in the mood. Instead of fish sandwiches and instead of manna from heaven, Jesus was telling them, feed on me and live. Feed on all of me. All of me. Don't pick and choose. Well, I'll feed on the miracle Jesus, but not the demanding Jesus. I'll feed on the healing Jesus. No, no, he said, I'm not a la carte. I'm not a la carte where you pay like gloobies. I eat this, but I'll skip that. You have to feed on all of me. And if you feed on all of me, you shall live. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. He said during the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. You see, Jesus was making it clear that he was the only top priority that mattered in their lives. Jesus wanted them to realize, and this morning he's speaking to us this morning. He wants us to realize that he wants to be first in our lives. First. Number one, numero uno. First. What does that mean? Then when you get up in the morning, the first thing you say is, good morning, Jesus. Did you get up this morning? What's the first thing you do? Check your Facebook? Grab your coffee? Then later on, morning. No. If Jesus is first, in the morning you get up and you say, good morning, Jesus! He wants to be first. Not second, not third. And he wants to be, he wants to be first all the time. All the time. 24/7, 365. He wants to be first all of Sunday. The first day of the, well, I'm first. Yeah, I know. I seen some of you come in. You come slip in and slip out. But is it really first on Sundays? Oh, you're getting quiet of me. Is it that hard to get up 1 hour earlier and come to Sunday school? It's 1 hour. Well, I have to, but Pastor, but if you have me teach a class, I'll come to Sunday school because I'll schedule time. But I don't sit and listen to the word of God because I'm a teacher. I'm a prophetess. I like to give out prophecies and speak in tongues. But no. I don't want to be a student. Because that means I'm like everybody else. And Jesus saying, am I first? Am I first even in everything on Sunday? Am I first on Monday? Am I first on Tuesday? Am I first? Listen, I'm trying to be a pastor. Hallelujah. I'm not getting the amen stamp, but I'm trying to be a pastor. Because it's interesting. We really don't want him to be first all the time. We want to manage it. And Jesus is saying, no, I want to be first and I want to be centered. Center, in the middle. Not because I want to be in the way. Honey, you have to understand. I want to be the way. The way. Hallelujah. First and centered. Because he wants to be Lord. He wants to be Lord and Savior. Oh, we want him to be Savior, but we don't always want him to be Lord. You know what Lord means? He's the boss. That's what it means. He's the boss all the time. Well, I don't want him to be boss. So you think that you have it together. You think you can do it without him once in a while. If you think you can do life without him once in a while, you are your worst enemy. You and I, we need Jesus to be Lord all the time. And he wants to be Lord all the time. So Jesus, this is the Jesus that they were facing now. And in verse 60, we see that many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying." Oh, Jesus, that's hard. Pastor Cortez, I'm sorry. I can't amen that. Man, that's a hard saying. Jesus, that's a hard saying. Jesus, you're asking something unreasonable from me. Lord Jesus, I mean, feed on you and live just on you entirely. Jesus, I'm having difficulty, Jesus, wrapping my brain around that. And yet, I'm trying to be reasonable. I'm trying to be reasonable, but I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. And Jesus is, for those of you that are brain wrappers and you cannot wrap your brain around this, I'm here to remind you that Jesus is saying to you today, he said, "I'm not asking you to wrap your brains. You don't have enough neurons to comprehend and apprehend everything that I have, everything that I am. I'm asking you instead to wrap your hearts around it. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Wrap your heart! Hallelujah! The only time that your brain will be able to comprehend everything that God has is when you go to heaven. When you go to heaven, it'll make sense. We'll understand it by and by. And you know what? When we go to heaven and all our answers will be provided. You know that what's interesting? When you're in heaven, it won't even matter. Oh, everything you're asking now, when you are in heaven, it's not going to matter because you're busy focusing on the face of Jesus. You're going to be focusing on the one that has told you, "I see you." And at that point, he said, "Well, now, what was those questions?" "I love you, Jesus." No. "What was those questions?" "I worship you, Jesus. It don't matter anymore. Lord, I see you. And I'm so glad that I wrapped my heart around you on earth." So after this back and forth, then Jesus says, when they realize they're having difficulty with what Jesus was demanding from them, Jesus then tells them in verse 61, "Does this offend you?" The word "offend" means, does this disappoint you? Does it upset you? Does it annoy you? Does it exasperate you? Jesus said, because I know that I am annoying you right now. I know that I am disturbing. I'm rocking your boat now. I know that I am upsetting you. I know that you're withholding the amens right now. I know that I am exasperating you. I know that. And I am purposely pressing your buttons. I am purposely pressing your buttons because I want you to understand who I am. Does this annoy you? Does this go against your bucket list you've been praying about? And I've come along and I've kicked your bucket. Does it really bother you? Does this go against who you preferred I would be in your life? Because see, some of you wanted me to be a Jesus that you envisioned and not the Jesus that I am. And then he says in verse 66, from that time, the Bible says, many disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, this is not talking about the 12 close disciples. He had the 12 disciples and he had hundreds and hundreds of other disciples. Here we see that a lot of those other people that was following him, they were just following Jesus for the show. They were following Jesus for the healings. They were following Jesus for the bread sandwiches, the bread and the fish sandwiches. They were following Jesus because they thought he was going to be a political activist. They were following Jesus because they just maybe liked him. They just following Jesus because he was loving. But now that Jesus was demanding, they said, "You know, we can't do this. We cannot do this." Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. In other words, they got off the bus. They got off the bus. They didn't like the announcement from the bus driver. Jesus is the bus driver. They didn't like to say, "Okay, We're not going down the scenic route. We're going down the Via Dolorosa. Oh, we don't do Via Dolorosa. We don't do the heavy road. No, no, no. Jesus, do the scenic route. No, no, no. I love you and I need to take you to, the destination is not a beautiful view overlook over the whole city. The destination is Calvary. I don't do Calvary, Jesus. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to take me someplace beautiful. I am. But the only place for you to be taken to the beautiful place, we have to go through Calvary. Yes, yes, yes. Calvary is a must stop before you make it to heaven. Oh, I disagree with you. I agree to disagree. And my Bible doesn't tell me that. Jesus, hey, I wrote the Bible. I'm telling you, I know what's best for you. I'm not going to set you up for failure. I want you to be blessed. But don't tell me the route to take. I am the way. I am the way. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm getting off the bus. It's time for me to find another Jesus. I need to find another Jesus. Let me get on the website and find other Jesus. Let me Google other Jesus. Let me see. Jesus, you disappointed me. I liked you, but this is not meeting my needs, Jesus. Let me find a hipster Jesus. A hipster Jesus. I like the mood. I like the style. You know, let me make sure everyone looks like that. Or no, no, no. I want to find Jesus. I'm sorry. I want to find a white Jesus. I want to find a white Jesus. There's too many people of color coming to the church now. And I like them. They're very demonstrative. But I want to find something I'm comfortable with. I want to find a white Jesus. No, no, no. I want to find, for the people, Jesus. I want to find a black Jesus. I want to find Jesus. That is always fighting and bringing equal rights. I want a black Jesus. I know, am I messing somebody up this morning? I want a black Jesus. No, I want a Hispanic Jesus. Hey, Hispanics, we're taking over, man. We're taking over. We're all in every state now, man. They need our vote. Oh, I need a Hispanic Jesus. No, no, no. I want a Democratic Hillary Jesus. No, I want a Trump Jesus. And you know what's scary? Then when you Google, you will find that type of Jesus. That's scary. That is scary. They're all over. The Bible says if an angel from heaven comes with another gospel and another Jesus, let that person be accursed. Oh, I'm looking for an alternative lifestyle Jesus. Do you do all types of weddings at your church? Pastor, can you redefine holy matrimony? You strap the holy part. Hey, listen, you will find a Jesus out there that will bend the rules and compromise the word of God. They got off the bus. They didn't like the bus of holiness. They loved Jesus, but they didn't like the bus driver, Jesus, where he was going. So they got off the bus. We'll find another Jesus. We'll go worship someplace else. We'll do something different. And the scary part is there are tons of them. See, folks, today there are many people, they want a Jesus that will save them from hell, but not save them from themselves. Oh, let me say that again. We want a Jesus that will save us from hell. How many of you want to go to hell? No, none of you. Put your hand down. No, none of us want to go to hell. We want a Jesus that will save us from hell, right? But honestly, many of us, starting from the pastor, because I have to die to self, I really don't want Jesus to save me from me. I want Jesus to work around me, work around my moods, work around my temperament, work about I'm angry, I'm injustice. I'm this is the way I feel. This is no matter what, you know. I just gotta be honest with my feelings. Last year I had someone tell me, I have to be honest with my feelings. I have to be honest with my feelings. And I had to tell them, honey, your feelings are off. Yeah. You're off. Yeah. I appreciate you being honest with your feelings, but they're off. Yeah. Your feelings are strong and they're real, but they're off. Yeah. The Bible says the heart is a deceitful thing. When people, I gotta go with my heart, I gotta go with my heart. Yeah. Your heart is off. Jesus wants to give you a new heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He wants to save you from you. Because this is just the way I am. This is just the way I am. You know, I'm not perfect, but we say I'm not perfect, but I like the way I am. You mess with me, I'll mess with you. You know, and we say that pseudo humble was, but really it's like we're proud of it. And the Lord said, no, I need to save you from you. You're your own worst enemy. No. Just save me from hell.
Amen.
Just work around me. Just love me. Just love me, Jesus. Just love me. You're loving Jesus. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, hey, listen, I love you. Oh, I love you. I mean, I love you. I died for you. I love you so much that it killed me.
That's right.
But listen carefully, Jesus is saying, I love you so much that I won't let you continue on with your stuff. In other words, I love you so much that I won't tell you what you want me to say. I will tell you what you need to hear. That's love. Oh no, Jesus, you're gonna hurt my feelings. Those feelings need to die. I didn't come to stroke you. I came to save you from you. From you. So, quite frankly, starting with the pastor, a lot of times, the Lord, don't save me from me. Save me from help and not from me. You know, this is your, Lord, at this age, I'm not going to change. And the Lord says, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Those of you that you use that line, honey, at this age, I'm not going to change. Basically, you say, Holy Spirit, you're too late. You slow, you blow. And God said, no. Once you start thinking that it's too late to change, then you are limiting what I want to do. Jesus is always, listen, Jesus is working on my life every day. I am like a construction zone. I remember in New York City walking by a building for a whole year, construction, scaffolds. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, the fact is on earth, your life is going to have scaffolds around it until you die. Until you die, the scaffolding. Because until you die, I am working in you. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus, I've been serving you all these years. Can you take down the scaffolds? No. There's still a work I have to do. The scaffolding around you is good news. That means he is still working. Musicians, would you come? Jesus loves you too much to tell you what you want to hear, but he tells you what you need to hear. And this morning he says, hey, feed on me and live. Meditate on me. Let me nourish you. Let me satisfy you. Let me build you up. Come to me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, not I might, I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Jesus loves you too much to tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. You see, Jesus wants to give you more than just fish sandwiches and more than miracle manna. Jesus wants to give you himself this morning. Jesus wants to give you himself this morning. But this is the deal. Jesus won't spoon feed you himself. Many of you, you've known the Lord. You've known the Lord for a while. I'm looking here. A lot of you already know. You know the Lord. But you want Jesus to spoon feed you. When our son was a little baby, my wife, we were passing elsewhere. And so I did daddy daycare 7 days a week. And my wife worked as a nurse. So I would feed him and I would wrap him up and everything. And I would do the spoon, the airplane. How many of you did the airplane? And because I was bored, I would do the aircraft, the Air Force. I had to feed him. He didn't know how to feed himself, and when he did, he didn't know. Then eventually, he learned how to. And I would feed him, and then eventually, but our goal was for him to feed himself. So we had like a plastic stuff around his high chair. And he took the spoon, you know, he would take the spoon and do it backwards, you know. We were talking about your son, Pastor Danny. You know, he takes it and turns it over and aims at his ear, whatever. And why do you do that? Because you want them to feed themselves. To feed yourself. Oh, I'm not going to go to that church anymore because I'm not being fed. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we had to get bibs out and feed people. Feed yourself. Jesus doesn't want to spoon feed you. He wants you to feed yourself and feed on Jesus. You know, when we have adults here and we have grown youth, you know, I need to eat better. I need to eat better. Okay. Then when you go to Luby's, eat the grilled chicken, skip the smothered country fried chicken and skip the dessert. Oh, I need someone to hover over me and be able to, you can't always have someone on top of you, a life coach, telling you what to eat. You choose to eat. And Jesus is saying, feed on me. You choose. You feed. Verses 67 to 69, let me close by reading this. Then Jesus said to the 12, after he had this, people get off the bus. Do you also want to go away? In other words, do you want to get off the bus? Do you want to follow the crowd, not the cloud? But Simon Peter answered Jesus and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, Jesus, there's absolutely no one like you. You always tell us what we need to hear. Verse 69. Also, we have come to believe, that's faith, and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, Peter was saying, hey, we have made the decision to wrap our hearts around you. Because every time we try to wrap our brains, we get it wrong. And we know that even after that, they were trying to wrap their brains. They got it off because when Jesus ended up going to Calvary and not on the throne, you know, that's not what they envisioned because they were wrapping their heads around Jesus, not their hearts. Jesus had told them, hey, listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to raise from the dead. He told them that, but they did not want to wrap their hearts. They just want to analyze it. I'm not saying that God wants you to be dumb. I'm not saying God is saying, put away your brain. I'm not saying that. Please don't, you know, God, Pastor Cortez, he was a dumb church. he was a church that don't think. No, no, no. What I'm saying, think, use your brain, study, write and divide the word of God. Study, use your brain, use nuance. Wonderful. But realize this, that as much as he studied, I don't care what your SAT scores or your IQ is, no matter what, you won't be able to fully comprehend and apprehend everything that God is. There's some stuff in life you're going to go through. You're praying, but you don't understand it. I'm saying realize your limit. You're limited. So what do? You wrap your heart around the Lord. Your heart. When you fell in love with her or when you fell in love with him, how many of you are saying, if I was wrapping my brain around that person, I felt that God wanted me to marry, I would have never married them. But there has to be a point. Do due diligence, do background checks, of course, please. Do you still have a wife alive, you know? Oh, you missed that one. Yeah, do your due diligence. But after a while, you have to wrap your heart, make a commitment with your heart. When I perform wedding ceremonies, holy matrimonies, I like the word holy. At that point, I'm saying, listen, there's going to be stuff you're going to face in life as a married couple. There's going to be some crazy stuff that happens. There's going to be some times that he's a bozo, she's a bozo, or both of you are bozos. At that point, you have every reason. You could come down with your checklist, all the reasons why it's not going to work. You could come down with that, use your brain, but your brain will set you up. You got to wrap your heart. Lord, I'm committed to this. I'm committed to you first and this marriage. Who was it that, Billy Graham's wife. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, right? And one time, she was busy raising her family. She was not a public speaker. And one time someone went up to her an interview and said, you and Billy Graham married all these years, and has it been wonderful? No, we've had challenges. So have you ever, and they asked her, have you ever considered walking away from the marriage? Difficult. Have you ever considered divorce? And she said, no, I have never once considered divorce. Murder, yes. Divorce, no. I said, well, if Billy Graham's wife had that attitude, oh, my goodness. In other words, she had wrapped her heart. So when we say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter what. There's going to be times I don't get it. I don't understand it. There's going to be times that I'm angry. I'm an activist. Oh, I'm the victim. We go either become the activist. We need to do it this way, or we become the victim. My feelings are hurt. Lord, I'm going to put that aside, the activist or the victim, and I'm just going to love you no matter what. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you until I make it to heaven, and then I'll be able to love you again in a different way. I'm going to feed on you. Every head bow, every eye closed. This morning, you're saying, this message has spoken to you. You're saying, Pastor Cortez, God has spoken to me. I have not been feeding on Jesus the way I should. He has not always been first. He has not always been centered. But I need to on purpose feed on Jesus and not let the stuff of life feed me, or let the gossip or the trials feed my spirit. I need to push away those plates and feed on Jesus, especially during difficult time. You are what you eat. And I want to eat Jesus. I want to feed on Jesus so that when people see me, they see Jesus in me. And this morning, this message has spoke to me, has challenged me. I want to feed on Jesus. Pastor, would you pray for me? Right in your seats, if that's you, would you lift up a hand? I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Yes, throughout the audience. Yes. Yes. It's all about Jesus. Yes. You can put your hands down. You're saying, Pastor Cortez, I am not right with Jesus. And the reason I'm not right with Jesus, I got to stop blaming other people and blaming circumstances and blame. The main reason is me. Me, myself, and I. I need Jesus to save me from me. Because I go with my instincts, I go with my feelings, I go with my thoughts, and I blow it. I don't go to Jesus. I want Jesus to notarize my decisions, and Jesus is saying, I don't notarize. Either I determine or I don't. I'm in or I'm out, but I don't notarize your stuff. and saying, and you're saying, Pastor Cortez, I need to surrender to Jesus. Listen, Jesus is not asking for your support. He is not like a candidate asking for your vote. He is not asking for your support. He's asking for your surrender. Know the difference. He doesn't want you to, he doesn't need you to validate him. He wants your surrender. This morning you're saying, I need to surrender to Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you raise your hand? If there's someone here that wants, you need to surrender to Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, every person that raised their hands today, Lord, I pray that you would just make yourself real to them. Make yourself real to them. Father, I pray that we'll be so focused on Jesus that we won't have time to study the other stuff around us. Lord, we know it's there, but we want Jesus to be stage center and first in our lives. Lord, we need to remember that you're not looking for our support and you're not looking for our service. You're looking for our surrender first. Our surrender. Not serving you our way, according to our schedule, but serving you your way, the way of the cross. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our youth pastor, Pastor Danny, would you close us in prayer? Amen. Would you close us in prayer?
If you can just close your eyes and bow your heads, we're going to pray to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for giving us this wonderful opportunity, Lord, to just hear this timely word, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for just Pastor's life, Lord, that you can just continue to use him and just bless him abundantly, Lord God, but also that we can just apply what we learned today, Lord God, in our lives, Lord. God, as we are getting ready to be dismissed, God, that we can just go out and just enjoy our wonderful time that we have with our family and friends, Lord. But, Lord, as we get ready to start a new week, Lord, that this week just be different from the rest, Lord. That this week, that we just see your favor move in a mighty way. That we just see your hand moving in just a mighty way throughout the week, Lord God, knowing that you're with us each and every single step of the way, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in advance for everything that you're going to be doing, not only this week, but also in the future, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.